Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
One.
Hello, food fam. I am Carl Fiadini, and this is the Walk and Talk podcast. We are podcasting on-site at the Hotel Tampa Riverwalk. A big thanks to Juan Fernandez and Chef Jonathan Rodriguez for the green light to record on property today. Our guest on the show is the chef, Brian Frick. He's running for the ACF Southeast Regional Vice President. Big deal. Let's dig in. But first, attention all chefs and food buyers. Are you looking to improve your proteins program with quality and service by the best in the beef business? Reach out to Peninsula Food Service with over 25 butchers on staff. Their services will dazzle and impress your dining guests. Peninsula is the largest Creekstone farm distributor in the Southeast United States. Let the gang at Peninsula Food Service cut your beef burdens away. Ask about their dry age program. Look them up at peninsulafood.com. All right, let's welcome our culinary contributor to the program, Chef Jeffrey Schlissel of the Hollywood Schlissels.
Moving on.
Yes. How you doing, my man?
Fantabulous.
I mean, I thought that last podcast with Chef Rennie was...
I thought it was great.
It was badass.
Oh, nice. Yeah. No pressure. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, who is this guy? No, I'm kidding. So, all right. I thought it went really well, and... I thought it went really, really well. And listen, by the way, everybody, we are literally broadcasting, recording in a live restaurant in a hotel, right? That's what gives the character and grit to the show, all right? We can go to any studio and do this, but we choose to come to places and actually, you know, experience these properties. All right. Chef Brian, how are you?
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you for having me today. This is great.
Our pleasure, and I appreciate you coming on the program. Before we dive into questions, give a little history. You know, take 2 minutes, a minute and a half, something like that. Kind of talk about, you know, how you got into culinary, where you came from. You know, like, how did you get to where you are today?
Basically, I was born in a kitchen. My father was a chef, and I was raised in a kitchen sitting on a potato chip can in the corner.
What? Oh, God.
Charles.
Oh, it was the
potato
one.
Potato chip can.
The yellow. Remember
the yellow can with a little brown specks on it?
Yeah, they dropped
and
it off your house.
Sit there on that can, and I'd watch my dad work in the kitchen all day long. I'd come over and see him.
That old. That's why he doesn't know what we're talking
exactly
about.
Exactly. Before the time. But that was the can that you got your chips in.
All right. I'm just going to say. Yes. So, first of all, I know what you're talking about. Number one. Number two. I don't know who. I'm only a few, like 2 years or something like that.
No, I got a little more on you than 2 years.
I'm 49, bro.
I got three.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? Then you're going to get where you got to go before me. Well,
we're going to stay away from age here, but
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Respect your elders, damn it.
But it's fantastic. I mean, we're sitting there watching, you know, him working every day on the line, and I'd come in, ask for change and money. He goes, you know, I'd ask for a quarter back then. He goes, if I had a quarter, I'd stay up all night and look at it. That was my dad's always famous line, you know. And so we literally lived in the kitchen, worked in the back, and watched him do his entire life. And I said, I made a decision. I said, man, I want to be my dad. I want to be a chef. But I don't ever want to work as hard as my dad. Mm, wow. Did I get that wrong? that's very true, you know.
I mean, yeah. The chef's life is the life for me, man. That's like it's like a being a pirate, man. It's crazy life.
That's my other life is a pirate chef. But we won't go there down there. So anyhow, doing that, growing in a restaurant. Went through an apprenticeship program, came out of the apprenticeship program. It was first apprenticeship program in Columbus, Ohio, first one they had. And I was one of the first classes in that with Hartmut Hinke and quite a bit of legends' names who were in the profession. And from that, I graduated in 1981, and I went and bought a restaurant. Thought, all right, I am ready. I bought a family restaurant. I'm like, I'm in the business now. I was a dishwasher. I was the landscaping guy. I was the electrician guy. I opened up the restaurant at 5 o'clock every morning and closed at 8 o'clock every night. So as part of not working as hard as my father, that was a myth. It was a thought.
Right.
But again, the passion of
especially
being
if you
in
owned
the
it
business.
Yourself.
And I owned it myself.
Yeah, no, that's it. You're tied in.
Yeah. So it's been in my blood all my life. Yeah.
So how long have you been a member of the ACF?
Since 1978. As soon as I graduated high school, I was in a vocational school, and that's another plateau that we have to look in the future. Vocational schools, when we're talking about institutions and getting the word out about education. From there, we went to a field trip in my last year to Columbus, Ohio. And it was a weird day. It was St. Patrick's Day. I remember it like it was the day of my life. I'm like, I want to go to the big city. This is amazing, St. Patrick's Day in Columbus, Ohio. And we went to the Sheraton downtown. Ziggy Oswald was the executive chef for the Sheraton. And I was hooked. Banquet Kitchen, the coffee pot brewer was huge. You could literally climb it. I've never seen anything so big in my life. And then the kettles and the braziers, it's like, it was there. And so I had to pursue this career in my life. And then I got involved in the Chef Association from there, from 1978. So, yeah.
So, all right. So you have a little experience with this.
A little bit. Yes.
Smidge.
Yeah.
So then what actually pursued you to go after the regional VP spot? What?
Well, here's two dreams I had. When I got done with this, and I had a vocational school, and my teachers like made fun of me, and she said, what do you want to do someday when you graduate? I said, two things. I want to work in the White House. I want to be the chef for the White House. And also, I want to be president of the ACF. Now, this was in 1978. And she laughed at me. It's like, okay, you need to get more realistic dreams. Well, to this day, I've served three presidents, not in the White House, but meals throughout my career. I've served three presidents of the United States. Wow. Really, really cool.
That's amazing. Which
I've even actually set off the alarm a few times because when I walked into the room, I had steel-coated shoes, and, you know, the toes, safety toes, and alarm goes off. Security is
metal detector.
Metal detector. Wow. Yeah, no knives. Just my shoes. So okay, it's cool.
Which presidents?
So Carter, Ford, and Reagan. Through an area of various events from my family's business and from the convention center I was working at. But very, very cool. It's such an honor to have those presidents and serve their meals. Checked that box.
Are
so
you
I didn't
allowed
need to work
to,
in the White House.
I presume mm-hmm. that you're allowed to like have, you know, pictures with them. And are you can you
you're
do
not.
No.
But here's what I did. So when we got done, see, always look around
always
the
have
box.
To be
look
creative.
Out of the box. So we got the flyer that they handed out at the event. I literally would take the flyer and I would send it to the President of the United States and he would sign it and send it back to me.
No kidding.
Yes. So they were really good about this. Hey, I had the honor of doing this event for you, and they would sign off and send it back to me.
You have no idea what background checks you have to go through to serve the President.
Right.
Absolutely.
Mel Davis, may he rest his soul. He was, when I went to Johnson Wales in Miami, we had the opportunity to serve Clinton and, you know, don't care about what, what political affiliation, but to have the ability to serve the president of the United States.
So I'll tell you a quick story. I was in the White House with the pastry chef, and Clinton was just getting in a little trouble at the time. And the chef goes, we're in stand down. You have to be very careful. We're going to sneak you in the back into the White House. Well, there is really, it's all the back of the White House. You can't walk through the front door, right? Okay. So anyhow, he takes us to the pastry shop upstairs, and it's a spiral staircase. I'm like, and I had my son, and he gave a cookie to my son when he was 5 years old. And I said, you had a cookie from the White House, from the pastry shop up on top. And then I'm trying to figure out, how did they get all the food from the pastry shop down that spiral, the spiral staircase? So obviously there was back doors, but again, it was pretty wild. It was July. We had a national convention there, and we was in the White House. We had all the white, they had the Christmas trees up for the first lady to choose what tree they wanted for Christmas. So it was a really great treat. So I checked that box. So the other box is I've got in this is, you know, people talk about the ACF all the time, and they're going, you want to make a difference. And people tell me, do this, do that. I said, if you don't get involved, you can't get in to make a difference. You can tell me all day long what you think.
Sure.
But until you get in the game, and that's when I got in the game. But I've always been an officer in the ACF, in the chapters and regions.
So with that said, it's a great segue. So how do you see your leadership style? In actually promoting, you know, what do you have a platform and things that you want to address or you want to kind of start task forces for or whatnot?
And we do support that. And that's coming out of my flyer here in a couple of weeks. But again, I've always been a component of transparency and education and how we can make a difference. I've sat on the ACF EF accreditation committee for years, almost 10, 15 years, site visits all over the country. From that platform, but we got to build a newer generation of the ACF. We know that that's, you know, change is good, but it's not always easy. So we've got to make this change, and we're starting to make this change. It is painful. I'm not going to kid you. But again, we have to make the change. We new generation of chefs we're seeing, they don't have the same worth style that we had. They choose differently. They don't want to work hours like I did back in my restaurant. They want a life too. So when we talk about life balance, we'll go a little bit later. But again, platforms and when things, I also support the president. You know, there's got to be a roadmap. We can't have five people driving the bus. We're going to get lost, or we're going to have some really big arguments on the back of the bus. So we need to have a pathway as a common goal where we want to go, very clear, and that will move things forward in the future.
Jeff, how do you feel about that? Same sort of a thing, right?
Yeah, I think if you don't change, change changes you. I mean, you got to look at, you know, Kodak, and you got to look at the blockbusters. And that was the biggest thing for me looking, you know, I'm a past president. I sit on the chairman of the board of Palm Beach Chefs Association. Brian's been down to help a couple of times as well. So we have a very good relationship as well. But I think, you know, being in conventions now in the capacity of the board of governors for 2 terms, so 4 years, mm-hmm. you know, it's, you see it and you want it. And it like Brian said, when you have change, people don't like it. And the problem is that what I was trying to get with Rennie is the ACF's been around for 95 years. 95 years.
It's a long time.
Right? Mm-hmm. And if we don't change and accept things differently and do things differently, change will change us.
Absolutely. It will move on without us.
Right.
So how do you plan to propel programs with charities, whether it be for, you know, veterans or, you know, something that's close to me is, you know, substance abuse and mental health awareness in right. our industry.
And that's a critical part. It's got to be a value on both sides. So when you're talking to another organization, both sides have an interest. So we got to find a common thread of where we can tie those interests together. I know we've had conversations with the National Restaurant Association, and somehow we keep hitting walls.
Well,
a lot of walls.
There's a lot of walls.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do we
find Pandora's box right now?
So how do we find that common thread when we work as organizations? So we talk about mental health issues and stress. I mean, we talk about addictions and stuff like that. Well, stress is just a big killer as anything else.
Sure.
And, you know, we're going through a lot today. And the temperaments have changed here in the last year. There's a lot of stress out there. People are unsure, and they seem a lot shorter these days. So we've got to work that out. You know, and I'm going to have to give accolades to Mr. Jeff Bacon at one point. He got up on stage, and he talked about his addiction.
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
By the way, that's literally his name.
Yeah.
Jeff Bacon.
That's... He must be a good friend of yours.
Yeah, right on course. Exactly. And, but he had, you know, he stood up and talked about it. So it kind of opened the door to a lot of people going, oh, I got the same problem. I just didn't get up on the stage and say that. So once we create that awareness that we're all here for each other.
And it's so rampant within the industry, you know, somebody coming up and actually getting on stage to talk about it. I mean, that really should just kick open a bunch of
Matthew Rayford did it in 2018 in New Orleans. He was the chef side of it when they had a psychiatrist there. I don't know if you remember that. And it actually moved LJ Klink to tell his story to Suzanne Greer, myself, and somebody else that was sitting there.
We all know food cost is like the big gorilla in the room, but the truth is addictions and stuff are really the big.
And that's why I applaud a lot of companies. My wife works at Walt Disney World Company, and they talk about drug testing and testing all the time. Well, it's for the safety of the guests, is safety of the dining guests as well in our organization.
Sure.
So we have a lot of flags on that. So some of those programs are good because they help keep things under control when there's random drug testing. So I'm not always component about it because there's other things that they're looking for. But again, it helps make awareness available as well. But we got to get more grip and more just acknowledgement on the field is important.
Chef, I hear you're kind of a big deal when it comes to bringing on new members. What do you got, like, you know?
A few.
600, what, five?
Well, the first year as membership chairman of the Central Florida Chefs Association, I brought in 637 new members. Now, I don't ever stop bringing in new members. So I'm just going to share. And I brought my hat. I have my chef's hat.
I don't know
if you can see it. But the logo on it. So I was just doing an event at Walt Disney World. And the lady goes, ACF, what is that? And I go, we're the Chefs Association of America. And she says, wow, I used to work in the Duquesne Club in Pittsburgh with a master chef. And I said, let me introduce you to the chef here at Walt Disney World, banquet chef. He said, banquet chef, this woman has worked in one of the top clubs in Pennsylvania, and she's got talent. She's worked with a master chef. Please, let's take care of her and recognize her. You would not imagine how she lit up like a Christmas that she got recognized, and she knew what the ACF was, and that the fact that she got recognized to her chef, and that's how we propel the younger generation.
And it's as simple as recognition to really turn somebody's whole personality around.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
When you're talking about motivation and you want to bring into the fold of, you know, well, how do we do better at whatever it is that
we do?
Motivation. And how do you motivate somebody?
Yeah.
My goodness, just recognize them. Yeah. I mean, obviously if they're doing the right work, right? I mean, but simple.
So I was working beside another lady. Just one quick. So when I worked beside another lady there, and she was talking about my career, and she says, wow, chef, I want to be just like you when I get old. And I was like, thank you. I do appreciate that, but I don't consider myself old yet.
You're like,
she says, you do a lot of things, and you're involved in the chapter. She goes, man, I want to do what you're doing. I says, you can. The opportunity is you. You got to get involved and get engaged. Open the door.
So actually, you've brought up a couple of you've actually brought up a few points on this a little bit, but so over the past couple of decades, we've seen an increase, I would say a fairly remarkable increase in female chefs, or just populating the kitchen in general. It used to be taboo. You would never see it, or wouldn't fly, or whatnot. However, you want.
You would see it. It'd probably be on the cold side, or
correct.
The pastry.
Yeah, off the side.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It wasn't as prevalent.
Now it's you're seeing them in positions on the grill.
Authoritative
positions. Right. It is fantastic when you see them in charge of a restaurant, and they're proud of what they're doing. They've earned it. No different than what we've earned. And now they're getting the res- they're getting the respect that they've long deserved, and they're getting the recognition. You know, all the companies I work for, we do that. We don't do enough. We need to do more, but it is there. It is coming. And so what is on board, we should embrace them, bring them in, and recognize them. It's huge.
It's funny you say that, and Rennie said the same thing. But you look at the board now and the people that are running against the now board, it's not a good diversity.
But we ask people. See, we had this conversation. We ask people, who and how do we get
involved? Somebody looked at me and said, why don't you run? I said, uh-uh.
But they always say, well, no, I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. I will tell you, absolutely, it is. I spend 30 hours to 40 hours a month on ACF stuff. So it is a lot of work. So those are building their career, they're focused on their career. My career is established. But again, it's just this panel of gentlemen that are running the organization, and we have broken the glass. The glass has been broken. So we welcome people. You got, Kathleen Vossenberg in there and Kimberly Brock Brown. It is now broken. The window is open and the door is open for people to come through. They can do it. They were just always intimidated by the gentlemen that were on the
old
board.
Old culture.
We'll call it that. Loud voices, and we were dominant.
Right.
And that's changing. And so the door's open. Let's take advantage of it.
How does a culinary educator encourage student participation, especially in today where we're seeing a lot of the schools, kind of disappearing.
Struggled, or just
dilute away?
On the accreditation committee, it's kind of amazing. We were very surprised when we go to the school. So we'd be coming in as accreditation. We couldn't come in as the ACF. So we're two different roles. So and then it was amazing, but some of the instructors had almost zero involvement in the ACF. So they didn't share, and a lot of students we'd had. So tell us about the ACF. And the student go, well, you're a chef's organization. They told us before you got here what you were. So it was very disheartening. So one of the programs I wanted to put in place is let's spend 2 hours before or after a site visit and talk about the ACF. Do a presentation. Because instructors, they're not all buying off on it. It's kind of their job. It's their second job. So how do we get to that audience and help them and help the instructor? If the student's involved, and I will tell you, an instructor will get involved if the student gets involved with the instructor. Any student acts as an instructor, they've always get involved. So if more and more students get involved, the instructor's going, all right, let's go do a food show. Let's go do a competition. I will support you. But if the students aren't asking, most instructors aren't going to do that.
They have to take more initiative.
More initiative.
Yeah. Okay. Advantages versus disadvantages on student voting rights.
Now, I have an example of that because when I was a student, I didn't ever ask about my rights as voting. I didn't get points. I did get the vote. So all I knew was I was voting. I never knew I was only getting a quarter vote or how much of a vote it was. So it wasn't, at that point in my career, that wasn't important. As you move on, and only because I can tell you by example, we were in a meeting in the class. They said, all right, the chapter is going to support Joe YZ, and that's who we're supporting. And me as a student goes, yep, bing, and we voted. So if they had that much influence, now today is different because of social media. If I'm a student and I'm interested, I'm going to go look up Brian Frick and see what he's done, whether he's the right guy or not. But before, we didn't have that technology.
Right.
So
you can find
everything.
Everything.
Yeah. And I mean everything.
Literally. Thank God they didn't have social media
exactly.
When I was a teenager.
Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine?
Again, that's part of it. So we want to recognize that we want to make them part of this organization because they are our future of it.
So then, what are exactly, let's just say we have a very wide spectrum of individuals who, listen to the show and kind of follow along with everything that we do at Walk and Talk. And that is walk in like a walk in cooler, walk and talk.
We're having a cooler chat, right?
Exactly.
Somebody know what that is.
Some of it's social, some might not be.
Somebody might get punched in the face. Who knows? Anyway, at the end of it,
never touch them, Jeff.
I remember, actually, side note, I remember one day I was kind of new in the business, and I think they set me up. Somebody on the line says, hey, I need whatever the price, I need celery or whatever. All right. So, and as I was walking up, I heard the yelling from outside. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, whatever.
Oh, you mad? Yeah.
Don't open the door. Chef's in there.
Not only did I open the door, I pretended like they weren't there. I was like, hey, I'm looking
for just grab the parsley.
Can you tell me where the celery is? I don't know. And yeah, that didn't go over too well. No, it didn't. Yeah. All right.
So back to our question.
What are the offerings for whether it's an aspiring chef, whether it's a chef who's maybe coming close to retirement? Like, what are the benefits of the ACF? And where do you, what are you going to do for these people? Like, what's the rub?
I do this every day when I'm out in the industry, and I've been doing this as a member ever since I joined the organization. I never stopped talking. I walk with a logo in my jacket. People say, hey, ACF, here's my card. Get involved. Let's get you involved. But again, we go down that road. We inspire. We have the great thing about the ACF is there's so many great opportunities. Where you want to start and how much you want to play. This is like pay to play. So if you want to do a couple careers in your career and build up and then take a break, you can. Or if you want to just go full in, you can. And we started this organization, ACF Young Chefs. What a great title. Would they not? They've got to be enticed to join in that. That sounds like it's for me. So they have a home. We've kind of created a niche for them. So we have building blocks for where they can get involved. And we can inspire them along the way. And that's what we do. High schools, you know, the high school program in these schools are coming on more and more on board. We've got to foster that. And I said one of my other programs I want to start was Fund the Future. We won't have enough people in accreditation to do all the site visits. So we're going to have to put money against that to get out and do the site visits because it's going to be mandated by the states to have these schools
accredited. Registered.
Yeah. Credit. So we got to make sure that we as the ACF are ready for that next leap and train the people to go out and do the schools. And that too is our sub voice of the ACF as well.
Yeah. I think that's pretty interesting. So as you know, one of the things with our program, our show, we want to be part of bringing new culinary passion and love from the younger folks into this business. You know, after, you know, coming out of COVID and where we are now and everything, you know, we saw what happened. Mm-hmm. It basically, you know, the industry was destroyed.
Yes. Yep.
It's still recovering. It's a slow road back. But, you know, I feel compelled that we should be doing something on that front as well. I'd love to figure something out and kind of, you know, get involved with, you know, assisting.
And then your other question was the older chefs.
Right.
As we retire, we have places for you. We have committees where if you want to give and get involved, there are spots for you. You know, they always, there's so much politics and going on. It's like, well, you don't have to play the game. Just help in an aspect that you have a passion for. You can do that. Sit on a bylaw committee. Sit on a simple committee. You don't have to get in the whole game, but you have time. And if we can also, on the other things, help them with insurance benefits, make sure we update that, make sure they're enhanced. And if we can get them discounts at conventions and help them along their journeys, whatever we can do to help them. And also, we still have to recognize it. Today, we talk about bringing all the young chefs, young. And I know a couple of the other master chefs, like, well, we're forgotten soldiers. It's like, well, no, you're not a forgotten soldier. We just got to invite you back to the playing field.
Yeah, but I think it also goes what you put into it, you get out of it.
That's correct.
So if you feel that you're a forgotten soldier, then you should have, you know, the old saying goes, weak wheel gets the oil.
Yeah, that's correct.
And that's the true step. Yeah. So if you feel that way, then you should have asked, hey,
why do we call them up and say, hey, chef, how do we get you back? We don't, you know, how can we get you involved? I would love to.
Yeah, I agree with what you just said. You know, Jeff.
Grease?
Because, well, you know, like you need
what
to
kind?
Take some
olive oil.
Bacon grease?
I like olive oil. What do you? It's because I'm Italian. Listen, so, I think that if you should say something, right? But on the other side of it, I think it should be proactive because you know what? Some people don't feel comfortable doing that. Like me, I would never. If I were in that position, I would keep my. Yeah, exactly.
Dude, it's just like.
With that said, I would love if somebody came and actually, you know, hey, you know, Carl, I would love that.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think it would be like a multi-prong approach.
Well, and I think that's what we need to do as an organization. We don't, I don't think we really, last year we did it because of Art Ritt. We mentioned that earlier. You know, 56 years he's been with the organization, and we as a chapter wanted to make a big deal of it. So we flew him up there and we finally, you know, we did it. And I wanted to get where he was on stage, but they ended up because the agenda had already been done. So they were like, look, this is what we're going to do. And they recognized for 10, 15, 20, all the way up to anybody past 30 and then past 40, so on and so forth. The look on Art Ritt's face of him just overjoyed about being recognized for that.
Yes. Doesn't take much.
No, it doesn't. And it's huge. And I think we need to do that too. Like when we at convention, you say, who's first convention? We lost track of that throughout what we're doing because now we've actually consolidated because of cost. We used to do 4 days for convention because I get confused.
It was four. And now we're going down to three. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, competition's offsite because of, you know, cost. There's a lot of factors in doing these things that we do. I know in Vegas, I saw in the minutes, they were charging the ACF $500 for a gallon of coffee.
Wow.
How do I get in on that action?
And cream of sugar is extra, by the way.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. It's not like some people sit there and throw out, get it donated. It's not about donation. The hotel needs to get paid for their employees.
Their margins.
And then margins, their water needs to be done, all the equipment that they're utilizing.
And so we have an agreement of a certain X amount of dollars that you have to spend. So you know, so we have to, sometimes we have to bump stuff up. But again, it is, and it's too funny part because when you say that, I used to be in banquets at Walt Disney World. I used to charge you $325 for that coffee. I remember that. And now that I'm on the other side.
It costs like 30 cents.
30 cents. And now I'm on the other side. I'm like, the nerve of you people charging that kind of money.
How dare you?
And I'm like, I can't believe I did that. How did I sleep by myself at night? You went $3 for a cookie that cost me 25 cents.
Well, listen, with the mouse, I mean, those costumes are expensive.
It's not just the mouse.
Absolutely.
Yes, it's not just the mouse. It's
across the board.
It's out there. I mean, there are ways that, you know, the restaurant industry, we have to make money where we can because we can't take a chicken and charge $75 for a chicken. So we get elsewhere, like that iced tea over there on that table.
That looks pretty good right now. Yes,
it does.
Sure enough. Okay. Right. So with that said, Chef Brian, why don't you go ahead and you're going to take us out. Why don't you explain why you should be voted in.
How about saying let's reelect me? Because I've always been engaged. I'm very transparent. I'm reachable. I get phone calls all the time, and we're here for you. I'm at your service. So I'm available. I'm engaged, highly engaged, highly visible. And if they want to join my talk show, Southeast Regional calls, I open up everybody, and it's hard to get dialect, but I'm open for you. Let's keep moving forward. Change is painful, but we're going to make some changes.
All right. I echo that as well. Chef Brian, thank you very much for being on the program. The
pleasure's mine.
Jefferson, Chef.
What a great team. We appreciate it.
Love you, baby. John, appreciate it. We are out.
The face he just gave you.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.